So that's a great place to start because SK Creek is a past producer. It was previously owned and operated by Barrick from 1994 to 2008. And it's this legendary asset that people study their thesis is on because when it was an underground operation owned and operated by Barrick, it was the highest grade gold mine in the world. So the average... The highest grade gold mine in the world.
And I did not know that before you said that. Very interesting.
It is very interesting. It's like a polymetallic deposit. The average mine gold grade was 45 grams per ton gold. And the average mine silver grade was north of 2,000 grams per ton gold. So people, when they see that in our presentations, people always ask us if that's a typo. And you know, like, that's how amazing it is. It's not a typo.
Galina Mellinger, Skeena Gold Silver, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
I'm great, Andy. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. So I'm going to throw you a little bit of curveball, but we're not starting here. You've had some great news hit the fan here. I'd love to chat about, but let's end that thought for about 20 minutes. And about 20 minutes, we'll get to it. So let's talk about the company. Where did you guys start? Where are you guys at? And you guys are where every prospector, every developer wants to be in. And how did you end up there?
Yeah, so we're located in British Columbia's Golden Triangle. And if you're not familiar with the area, it's home to amazing projects and amazing operations all in close proximity to us. It's basically northwestern British Columbia. And it's absolutely no coincidence that a lot of the majors are situated in this area because of the immense geological potential that we're seeing. We're also on Tahltan territory. So that's the indigenous group that we're working alongside with to advance our flagship asset, which is called SK Creek.
Got it. So can you name drop for me? And I'm saying this almost rhetorically. I know who's there, but for all of our listeners, who's in the Golden Triangle? And for those who are listening, guys, this is a big deal. So go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, not only is it just the majors, you've got your Newmonts and your Techs, you've got your Red Chris, you've got your Brucejack, you know, Galore Creek, Shaft Creek. There's been a ton of M&A activity in the area. So over the last couple of years, over $3 billion of M&A. And it's because these top tier industry leaders want to scoop up these amazing assets because of the high grade potential of this area.
Got it. So, talk me a little bit through again, how did you guys get here? And fun story is, and I apologize, I knew you guys as Skeena Resources. And what happened with all that?
Yeah, so we actually just launched a bit of a rebrand. So going from Skeena Resources to Skeena Gold and Silver, and I would say subtle but meaningful in that we are at the development stage now, and we're kind of past what we want to call resources. We also have a very meaningful silver component within the asset that we're drawing visibility to. So on one hand, it's a world-class gold asset, but it's also a very globally relevant silver deposit. And I can speak more to that in detail.
I really want to hear about that because gold is ripping, as I'm sure you are aware. And I do believe silver is soon to follow. And I'll name drop somebody. I have Rick Rule on all of the time. I'm having him on next week, actually. And his thesis is gold will rip first, which it did, and silver will be soon to follow. So I do appreciate your branding that's what you're focusing on, as I am a potential investor in your company. To all my listeners and viewers, I am not an investor yet. That soon and could change, but I'm treating this conversation as I get to know you guys here.
So that's a great place to start because SK Creek is a past producer. It was previously owned and operated by Barrick from 1994 to 2008. And it's this legendary asset that people study their thesis is on because when it was an underground operation owned and operated by Barrick. It was the highest grade gold mine in the world. So the average... The highest grade gold mine in the world.
And I did not know that before you said that. Very interesting.
It is very interesting. It's like a polymetallic deposit. The average mine gold grade was 45 grams per ton gold. And the average mine silver grade was north of 2,000 grams per ton gold. So people, when they see that in our presentations, people always ask us if that's a typo. And you know, like, that's how amazing it is. It's not a typo. The ore was so rich that they actually did direct shipment of ore. And it wasn't until later years that they installed a processing plant using flotation and gravity. But anyway, I guess in 2008, Barrick was of the opinion that they mined out the plum. Gold was $800 an ounce. So they placed it on care and maintenance. But because the mine grade was 45 grams per ton and the cutoff grade was 15 grams per ton, for us, the question with bringing this back to life was really, what's left behind if the cutoff grade was 15 grams per ton? So with Skeena and the management team today and kind of reconceptualizing SK Creek, we're taking it open pit. So this is going to be a very, very sizable open pit operation. We've been advancing it since 2017. We put out multiple technical reports out to date on the project, and we're basically in the development stage. We're projecting initial production in 2027, coming out of the gates with 450,000 ounces of gold equivalent metal in years 1 through 5. So very, very sizable operation. And I talked about being the highest grade gold mine in its past life. It will remain one of the highest grade open pit mines globally in its present. So we're projecting a robust grade profile of 5.5 grams per ton in years 1 through 5, which is triple the global open pit average.
Well, so I'm somewhat at a loss.
Because there are so many tier one attributes that I think are so phenomenal that make it an absolute delight.
I am so sorry for being rude because I'm interrupting you. I am, I'm in just complete shock. And you're going to go in 27 is when you're going in production?
That is the anticipated initial production subject to the receipt of final permits. We're in the EA application phase right now in BC, which is like the major permit that we have to overcome to say we're in full-scale construction.
That was my next question. And the ETA on that is... in 27. So do you have all the infrastructure built? Go ahead.
So the permitting timeline would be towards the end of this year so that we can initially be in production in 2027.
Got it.
But because this is a past producing operation, we have a lot of existing infrastructure where, you know, it allows us to fast track some permits. And the most notable one in particular would be the tailings facility that was kindly permitted to us by Barrick for more than ample the capacity for the life of the mine.
Okay. I don't know where to go with this. Okay. So you are really right there. You're right at the finish line here. And you are fully intended to take this to as a mine to develop. I mean, that's what this is going to become. What do I ask with all this? Where's the room for growth? I mean, it's already huge. What a dumb question, but yeah, what's the room for growth here?
Well, there's kind of...
is there any more exploration?
There's a lot of upside opportunities that I can walk you through. Okay. I would say
go ahead, please. I mean, you're still in shock. Go ahead.
Obviously, in the Golden Triangle, the exploration opportunities are abundant. So right now, we've outlined 12 years in the mine life. When it's all said and done, we could be here for 20. The upside opportunities for a company that's in the development stage go through, basically, there's two different avenues. One, you can climb up the Lassonde curve, right? So as you climb up that curve and get closer and closer to cash flow, you'll continue to advance your valuation. And then The other way to increase your valuation is to increase NPV. And we're actually doing both. So we can go through kind of evaluation on the Lassonde curve. Yeah.
That's one of my next question. So go ahead.
So because of the size of the production profile with 450,000 ounces, when we look at comps in the industry in terms of what is the company worth, there's not a lot of companies off 1 ounce of this size.
Yeah.
So it's actually quite simple to see what our valuation is. The one that we feel we're closest to would be Lundin Gold with Fruta del Norte.
Okay.
So they are trading at a very healthy P/NAV multiple of 1.4 times and a market cap of about $9 billion Canadian. And we
have market cap right now?
Our market cap is about 1.5 billion Canadian.
Okay, so you're about a 5x away.
And I would say that when we look at, you know, Fruta del Norte, their cash flow story, we're a cash flow story. Our production profile is similar. Costs would be similar. So that's a reasonable comp. And then we also can look at, for example, a company like Artemis Gold, the Blackwater Mine in BC. They're literally commissioning as we speak. They've got a market cap of about $4 billion Canadian, and they're just at that inflection point right now where they're flipping the switches, right?
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea. We are, I guess what makes us special is that one, we have a silver component, so we know we can propel our multiple.
Yeah, tell me about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the value split is about 65% gold and 35% silver.
Okay.
But because of how big the operation is, that 35% byproduct credit on silver actually makes us a very globally relevant silver mine. So in years 1 through 5, we're going to be producing 9.5 million ounces of silver, which is very, very strong. When you look at the silver space, if you know the silver space, that's more silver than Aya. That's more silver than Cheapest. Just naming
as far as silver.
Yeah.
So.
And that's important for us because it's a very meaningful byproduct credit on the unit cost. And again, it's very competitive in terms of propelling our re-ratings. And within the financing package that we announced last year on the gold stream, we didn't touch the silver. So that was something that our investor base was keen to tell us, and that they see a lot of upside potential on the silver, and hence we didn't stream the silver, which is opposite in what you would see in most situations where companies stream the byproduct. But we've left ours untouched. And then so if we plug in spot prices today, we're sitting at a P/NAV multiple of, you know, say 0.4 times. And ultimately, because this is a world-class gold asset, we see a pathway, conservatively speaking, to get to 1 times NAV and maybe 1.2 times NAV on silver being conservative. So that's kind of the thesis that we see from where we are today, going 3 or 4-fold as we climb up the Lassonde curve and get closer and closer to cash. But the other ways that we are improving our valuation is with regards to increasing NPV. And so we have to do that on the other side of the permitting process. So once we get the EA approval, we can look at modifying the plan, because right now EA is submitted on the latest DFS. And behind the scenes, we're working on an updated 43-101 that we'll put out on the other side of the EA. And so I guess the biggest component of that is, I mentioned at the start that this is a polymetallic deposit, and right now we'll just monetize the gold and the silver. But we have significant quantities of antimony, lead, and zinc that will just continue to increase payabilities and concentrate sales. And that will actually be really significant. We think that could, you know, add another $1 billion to the NPV.
I'm just laughing. I had no idea. So,
So
what's your ETA on getting EA approval? Or do you have one?
Yeah. So the EA is end of the year.
End of the year. End of 25.
End of 25, we can be in possession of an EA certificate. In BC, it goes in two phases. You submit your initial. We submit initial in August of 2024. It kicked off a 6-month review period. And then we're submitting our final application in March of this year. And then it kicks off another 6-month review.
March of 25. Okay. Yeah. I got one. I got you. Got you. Question. what's going to go wrong? What can go wrong?
You know,
I mean that with all due respect, because everything sounds so good. So help me be critical of you guys.
I think for us, it's all about execution to the finish line. And, you know, our shareholder base and us as a management team, we're all very motivated to bring SK Creek into production as quickly as possible. Sure. So it's all about execution and staying on track with the project timeline.
Yeah, which is a big deal. I mean, that can go sideways all the time. And that does go sideways all the time. So yeah, I got that. I'm trying to be very critical here. What else, Steve? What do you got?
Well, I'm curious if you can, we're talking about the upside, we're talking about the risk. If you can talk a little bit about the history that you guys have on your team and the track record, that would be helpful for investors like me and others.
Yeah, okay. Be quiet.
Yeah. So I'll just, okay. So firstly, I'll just say, let me just start with the latest definitive feasibility study. So we've been working on SK Creek since 2017. We've put out 4 technical reports to date. And the latest one is the DFS put out in late 2023. So it encapsulated a lot of the inflationary pressures post COVID. And, you know, using spot prices today, the project has $4 billion after-tax NPV. The reason why I wanted to start with that is because we have, I would say, a very, very strong management team. The founder of the company, our executive chairman, is Walter Coles. I would say that this was really forming this company and advancing, like, SK Creek. It was really all about bringing his vision to life of putting out a world-class mine in the Golden Triangle. So everything about this company is really like the financial sophistication and everything. That's all Walter. Randy Reichert is the chief executive officer, and he's been in operations for 40 years. He built out Pecola with B2 Gold and Kubel. And he was instrumental in making a number of changes to the definitive feasibility study going from the feasibility study. So we made a number of improvements and modifications to the flow sheet, and that was all Randy. We also have Maylene Morin, who is Talton, and she's VP of Environmental and Regulatory Affairs. She's driving the permitting process for our company, and she used to work for the lands department in government on the other side, giving companies like us permits. So she's a very, very strong addition to the team. I would say the amount of talent that we have on the management team is incredible. Just a very, very well-rounded group of people. Because I think, you know, when you take a company like this, like it's, you've got to have the best people in the industry.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You had some news here come out. Let's take that pin out just recently. Tell me about that.
Yes. So there was news yesterday after market with regards to a bought deal for about $70 million Canadian. And before we jump into that, there's a little bit of a backstory. So I'll touch on the financing that we launched in June of last year, which was very well received in the marketplace because it was a big step forward in terms of de-risking. So in June of last year, we came out with $750 million US financing package with Orion. There was 3 main components. There was an equity piece, a gold stream, senior secured loan, and then a cost contingency, which was in the same shape and form as the gold stream. So this financing package basically allowed us to come to the market and say, hey, we're fully financed to see this project through to completion. But we also had optionality and flexibility within the terms of the package to improve various components. So for example, on the senior secured loan and the cost contingency, those 2 components, there was a 1% standby fee and no break fee, meaning that we can swap those out for something else if we found more favorable terms in the market. So what we've been saying to the market the whole way through is that the gold stream financing for $200 million would basically fund the development activities for 2020, right? And with the bought deal that came out yesterday, it was essentially us substituting the use of the cost contingency, which is in the same shape and form as the whole stream, which we view as pricey, especially in today's price environment of $900 gold. So we took the opportunity to basically, you know, have some rainy day insurance, raise a very small amount of what we consider to be a small amount of dilution, just over 4%, so that we can have access to some funds and essentially allow us to not draw down, for example, at the stream at the beginning of the quarter, but towards the end. So overall, we just thought it was a prudent opportunity. And when you look at our equity management, we are still very, very disciplined and probably one of the most disciplined in the mining industry, I would say, with on a pro forma basis, about 112 million shares issued and outstanding. So a very, very disciplined equity practice.
Excellent. Steve, did you have anything else to ask?
Yeah, if we have any questions, where do we reach you? If you can tell us about your ticker and your website, your email, anything else that you can share, that'd be great.
Yeah. So I encourage everybody to go check out our new website. We just rebranded all of our new materials. It's www.skeenagoldsilver.com. Questions for the IR team would be info@skeenagold.com. We're always here. The ticker symbols are SKE on both the TSX and the New York Stock Exchange. Always happy to take any questions.
Yeah, excellent. And just to all of our viewers and listeners, Skeena's been very, very responsive to us and nothing but a class act and responding and us reaching out to them. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Thank you so much. You're busy and we got a hard stop here in about 2 minutes. So thank you so much. I'd love to have you on again.
Thank you so much. Okay. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.